Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. My uncle, you must have visited Dwaraka. In that holy place are our friends and well-wishers, the descendants of Yadu, who are always wrapped in the service of the Lord Sri Krishna. You might have seen them or heard about them. Are they all living happily in their abodes? And then purport. The particular word Krishna Devataha, i.e. those who are always wrapped in the service of Lord Krishna, is significant. The Yadavas and the Pandavas, who are always wrapped in the thought of the Lord Krishna and His different transcendental activities, were all pure devotees of the Lord, like Vidura. Vidura left home in order to devote himself completely to the service of the Lord. But the Pandavas and the Yadavas were always wrapped in the thought of Lord Krishna. Thus, there is no difference in their pure devotional qualities. Either remaining at home or leaving home, the real qualification of a pure devotee is to become wrapped in the thought of Krishna favorably, i.e., knowing well that Lord Krishna is the Absolute Personality of Godhead. Kamsa, Jarasandha, Shishupal, and other demons like them were also always wrapped in the thought of Lord Krishna, but they were absorbed in a different way, namely unfavorably, or thinking of him to be a powerful man only. Therefore, Kamsa and Shishupala are not on the same level as pure devotees like Vidura, the Pandavas, and the Yadavas. Maharaj Yudhishthira was also always wrapped in the thought of Lord Krishna and his associates at Dwaraka. Otherwise, he could not have asked all about them from Vidura. Maharaj Yudhishthira was therefore on the same level of devotion as Vidura, although engaged in the state affairs of the kingdom of the world. Okay, so the verse again. Apinah sudrida suhridastata bandava krishna devataha drishta shruta va yadava svapuryam sukham asati. Translation: my uncle, you must have visited Dwaraka. In that holy place are our friends and well-wishers, the descendants of Yadu, who are always wrapped in the service of the Lord Shri Krishna. You might have seen them or heard about them. Are they all living happily in their abodes? Namo Vishnu Praya Krishna Prasthaya Vatale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Sonniti Namine Namaste Sarasvata Gorubhani Pracharini Nirvishishuna Vadi Pashchita Deshita Mukam Karoti Vachanam Pankum Langa Te Girim Yat Kripatam Ham Bande Shri Gurundi Natarinam Shubhubha Ki Jaya. Yes, so here the Bhagavatam continues the description of how Vidura visited Hastinapur. As you well know, he traveled for a long time visiting different holy places, and this was actually done by him especially after Duryodhan was ridiculing him. He was mentioning his birth, low birth, from a Shudrani mother. And Vidura decided to take that as an opportunity to deepen his devotion for Krishna. So he started traveling all over the different holy places in India, holy places that are related to the pastimes of Krishna. And here Maharaj Yudhishthira, addressing Vidura, is asking Vidura about the welfare of the Yadavas, because he assumed that Vidura must have also visited Dwaraka. Dwaraka is one of the most holy places. In the spiritual world, there's the Vaikuntha planets, where Lord Krishna resides in the form of Narayana, four-armed form of Narayana. And then the topmost planet in Vaikuntha, in the spiritual sky, is Goloka Vrindavan. It's nicely depicted in this on this picture, in the center of the spiritual world, is the topmost planet of Goloka Vrindavan. And in Goloka Vrindavan is the it's said that there, it's divided into three parts. There is of course there is Dwaraka, there is Mathura, and there is also Vrindavan. So Krishna performs his various pastimes in these holy places. And in the different places, he has a different mood. And of course, devotees also, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they say that Lord Chaitanya is also in Golokadham. He has his portion. And Lord Krishna performs his pastimes there, in the mood of a devotee. So in this verse we hear that Maharaj Yudhishthira is asking about the welfare, how are faring the Yadavas. And he addresses Vidura by asking him what are our friends and well-wishers, the Yadavas, doing? So, in general, when it's a common practice, actually, if you meet someone you haven't seen for a while, you naturally ask about his well-being, as well as his relatives or his friends. So that's a natural thing to do. And now Prabhupada explains in the purport that Maharaj Yudhishthira was, at the end of the purport, he says Maharaj Yudhishthira was also always wrapped in the thought of Lord Krishna and his associates of Dwaraka. So naturally, when he saw Vidura, he immediately wanted to know about the well-being of the Yadavas, about the activities. And Prabhupada starts the purport with one sentence, which says, the particular word Krishna Devata, i.e. those who are always wrapped in the service of Lord Krishna. So he says that this is significant. He says, in this, those who are always wrapped in the service of Lord Krishna is very significant. So the word Krishna Devata. So Krishna Devata, I found that this word appears one more time in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto. And but the essence is Actually, Prabhupada translates it as wrapped in the service of Lord Krishna. So this word describes the Yadavas. So the Yadavas are devatas. They're actually devas. They're demigods, but not just an ordinary demigod. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Anya Devata, referring to the demigods, those who worship the demigods, they're not actually properly situated because they don't understand who is the Supreme Lord, who is the master of the devatas. And here, it's referred, the Yadavas are referred to as Krishna Devata. That means that they are always absorbed in the service of Krishna. So devotees are known as Vaishnavas, and Vaishnava is someone who is like Vishnu. So if you're absorbed in someone all the time, you become like him. And one just general example of that is oftentimes people nowadays, they have different idols. They usually worship some movie star or pop star. And oftentimes you can see that the fans of those so-called stars actually imitate their worshipable deity by dressing like them or behaving like them, adopting their behavior. They quote them all the time. So this is a kind of meditation. So this is a material absorption in someone. And the absorption of the Vaishnavas is they're always thinking of Krishna. And because of their constant absorption in thoughts of Krishna, they become like him. Therefore, they're referred to as Vaishnavas. They're like Vishnu. A Vaishnava is someone who is like Vishnu. They actually manifest the same qualities as Krishna. Of course, not in the same potency, same way, same quantity. But the Vaishnavas possess the qualities of Krishna. And that's why Vaishnavas are so attractive. Yesterday, Govinda Prabhu was speaking about the sadhus being the tirthas, moving tirthas. And he was explaining the potency of a sadhu who is completely absorbed in Krishna, in thoughts of Krishna, in Krishna consciousness, that the many experiences that Prabhupada disciples had in their first meeting with Srila Prabhupada. And everyone will probably have experienced that when an advanced Vaishnava, we have sentiment, especially for our spiritual master, who a disciple should naturally consider as most advanced or very advanced. So we have that experience that in the presence of the spiritual master, we feel uplifted, we feel very Krishna conscious. Actually, the spiritual master or the transcendental personality who is absorbed in Krishna consciousness, in thoughts of Krishna, he carries with him Krishna. And he can give Krishna to others. That's why bhakti is given by a bhakta. So, a bhakta is someone who has got bhakti. So, Krishna Devata, Prabhupada says, is very significant. And he says that those who are always wrapped in the service of Lord Krishna. So that's how he translates that. And I was curious to see the meaning, the meaning of that word, wrapped. So I looked in a dictionary. And there's words listed in the dictionary that are similar to rapt. So I'll just read them for you. Fascinated, enthralled, spellbound, captivated, riveted, gripped, mesmerized, enchanted, entranced, so many words actually, which illustrate the same point. And then the etymology of the word rapt, it comes from the Latin rapere, and then from that derivative is raptus. So you know the word rapture, right? Rapture. In he was standing there in rapture. It means like he's completely absorbed in something. Something is drawing his whole attention and consciousness. And so, and then in the dictionary, it's also interestingly, it says from raptus comes, which in Latin means seized. That means his mind is seized, it's taken away by some thoughts. And then from that comes rapt, the modern word rapt, which is the meaning here given is transported by religious feeling. So when someone is in rapt thoughts of Krishna, or are rapt in the service of Krishna, they actually externally may appear to be present, but physically, but internally they're not in that place. And we know so many examples, descriptions of devotees who are engaged in pure devotional service. They sometimes become, they manifest different ecstatic symptoms. And some of the symptoms could be as far as losing consciousness completely, and then one becomes completely absorbed in samadhi. In the devotees who are on that level of pure devotional service, they become transformed to a different level. And there's many examples. In the Goswami's description of the Goswami's, sometimes devotees enter into a state of trance and they actually become transformed into Krishna's pastimes, isn't it? And after some time they may come back to external consciousness after experiencing some ecstatic interaction with Krishna. I think it was it Chamananda who there was a pastime when he in his trance he participated in the pastimes of Srimati Radharani when she lost her jewelry. Was it a ring or something? And then he started diving in the Yamuna trying to find it. So this kind of rapture, this kind of meditation is of course the, you could say, the culmination of devotional service, when someone has become so pure and so concentrated, so much absorbed in his devotional service and thoughts of Krishna, that they are not any more present in on this plane. They exist in a different reality. Now, this is of course something that we aspire to attain, this kind of rapt thoughts in Krishna. And therefore the acharyas, it is said that the highest principle of the acharyas is that they want to make sure everyone becomes engaged, their mind, in thoughts of Krishna. And there's this famous quote or verse that their aspiration is to make everyone mana Krishna niveshayat. That means to make sure that everyone's mind is completely absorbed in Krishna. So this is the acharya's mood. Because the only way we can become Krishna conscious and become purified is by absorbing our minds in thoughts of Krishna. There's one interesting quote which I took out in preparation for this class. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd canto, 9th chapter, verse 35. In the purport, Prabhupada writes this: "The Lord can award anyone liberation, mukti, from the bondage of material existence, yet he rarely awards the privilege of love of Godhead, as confirmed by Narada, muktim dadati karichit, smana bhakti yogam." The transcendental devotional service of the Lord is so wonderful that the occupation or keeps the deserving devotees always wrapped in psychological activities without deviation from the absolute touch. Thus, love of Godhead developed in the heart of the devotee is a great mystery. So this is just a quote from this is from 9th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. I believe that's in the chapter where the Chaturshlokas are found. And so we hear here that devotional service involves psychological activities. That means, you know, when we begin devotional service, we generally start by engaging our senses, right? And especially the tongue. So in the beginning of our Atashi Krishna Namadi, Nabhavet Graham Indri, Sevan Mukhe Hijiva Do, Swayam Eva Spuratya Do. So in the beginning we try to engage our tongue. The tongue has two functions. One is to vibrate and the other one is to taste. So that's why devotees are advised from the very beginning to engage in two activities. One is chanting the holy names and the other one is tasting Krishna Prasadam. And of course the tongue has to be controlled. This is the way we control the tongue, by always engaging in speaking about Krishna and tasting Krishna Prasadam. And then if we chant the holy name, we naturally also try to hear the holy name. And when we hear the holy name, we become absorbed in Krishna. So the holy name is not just, you hear the holy name not just by engaging in chanting Hare Krishna, but also in hearing from a pure devotee. For example, attending the Srimad Bhagavatam gives an opportunity to hear the holy name. Because during the class, at least one time, the holy name of Krishna should be mentioned. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj used to say that the writing of someone, for example, of his disciples, is judged by how many times the name of Krishna is mentioned. And Prabhupada would also often say that if there was an article about Krishna consciousness, which even may have been negative, and you know, sometimes people we read, especially in the beginning when we were not established, they used to ridicule devotees. But Prabhupada would always encourage devotees by saying, well, if the word Krishna is mentioned in that article, then it's something positive. It's benefiting people. And in that sense, I was reading some nice quotes, and in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj and Narsingadev are described, in first chapter is called Personality of Godhead is equal to everyone. Krishna is equal to everyone. So in that chapter, Narada Muni explains that thoughts about Krishna are very auspicious, and he says that even if demons absorb their minds in inimical thoughts, they also become purified. And he gives example with different demons like Putana and Kamsa, and you know, these demons, they were constantly thinking about Krishna, and because of that, they ultimately they got Krishna's mercy. But again, the acharyas explain that thinking about Krishna should be done in a positive way, in auspicious way, and anukulyasa. Anuku is the favorable way. So devotees think of Krishna only in a favorable way. Demons may think of Krishna as a, as an enemy. They may even think of Krishna in a way that he is just a very powerful person. One key in the purport, Prabhupada speaks also about this. One key word here is sentence here. I want to read it. Okay. Well, let me find it. Yeah. Okay, so Prabhupada says, either remaining at home or leaving home, the real qualification of a pure devotee is to become wrapped in thought of Krishna favorably. So Prabhupada then explains, i.e., knowing well that Lord Krishna is the absolute personality of Godhead. So this is what it means to think of Krishna favorably. If you don't understand who Krishna is, who the personality of God is, Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda, Sitaram Lakshmanam, Vrindavan Ki Jai. If you're not aware of the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his position, our relationship to him, then your thoughts will not be favorable. So the only way to think favorably of Krishna is to hear about the glories of Krishna from his pure devotees. So by hearing about Krishna's qualities, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's activities like that, you become properly situated in understanding Krishna, and that's why it's so important to hear. This is how we absorb our minds, actually. Disrupt thought in Krishna can only be done through the process of hearing. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada so many times emphasizes how important it is to hear. Because as we mentioned, in the beginning of devotional service, we engage our senses. And side by side, we should continue hearing. Because if you engage in any activity without hearing and chanting, then that activity may not be properly executed, because the hearing and chanting makes sure that we understand the mood in which we should perform that activity. I'll give you an example. Someone may be cleaning the temple, for example. So if someone is a devotee, has been able to hear, then his consciousness is better situated whilst doing that activity, because he remembers this is Krishna's temple. I am doing this as a service to the deities. And there's this kind of absorption is there. But if, for example, we had recently some people, a professional company, come to clean the premises, right? Did they clean the temple room as well? I don't think that while cleaning the temple room, they had the same kind of absorption. same kind of consciousness. Because they're just doing their profession, right? So therefore the activity itself is not so important. More important is the absorption of the mind, the thoughts. And devotion of service, is, as Prabhupada says here, is a psychological activity. It is wrapped in psychological activity. So this is how we become pure devotees, by always being able to concentrate our mind in thoughts about Krishna. And this is all what yoga is all about, actually. It's controlling the mind and coming to the stage of being always absorbed in thoughts of the Absolute Truth. Samadhi means exactly that. Means you're equipoised and your mind, your senses are controlled and you're able to concentrate your mind on thoughts of Krishna. So, again, to be able to do that, we have to emphasize, I mean, we cannot emphasize enough how important it is to always hear. So a devotee should always hear. When we do our services, like, let's say, cleaning the temple room, we should hear. We should hear Prabhupada's lectures. We should hear the pastimes of Krishna. And we are so fortunate because there's so many materials available, especially now. There's a very nice website, Krishna Path, it's called. Anyone know this? It's full of reading of Prabhupada books, even with Srimad Bhagavatam is with complete translation, purports as well. You know, it's there. And we have, of course, Amala Bhakta Prabhu's, now Swami, narrations. He reads the Srimad Bhagavatam Chaitanya Charitamrita without the purports, of course, but so there's so many of these narrations available. And I personally remember when I was a young devotee, I had a service in Govinda's restaurant in Stockholm. I was for 1 year I was cutting vegetables for the restaurant, and that's a lot of work. They were cooking for 300 people every day, so imagine if you have to prepare the vegetables, soak the dal, cut the vegetables in a certain way, and so many preparations were there. Because during the day, when the cook comes in the morning, he has to cook quickly. He has to cook for an hour and a half, 2 hours. And if you have to prepare the vegetables at the same time, it's very difficult. So my service was to prepare the vegetables and all other ingredients and keep them in the cool house. They call it cooling room or whatever, different ways. And I remember that was taking my whole day, actually. You know, I would start my service after breakfast, which was after the morning program, Bhagavatam. And I would immediately start doing, and sometimes I would finish late in the night, like 10 o'clock. Sometimes, if it was too much to do, 11, because some vegetables require more time. Like, have you tried to prepare Brussels sprouts for sabji? You know, you have to peel off each small cabbage, and you have a whole bag of them. It's a lot of work. And I didn't get much help. Sometimes a volunteer would come, but mostly it was just me doing it. Anyhow, so I was doing this service, and the most ecstatic part of that service is that during the service, I was constantly hearing classes and hearing Ramayana, Mahabharata by Hridayananda Maharaj, and I was hearing Amala Bhakta's Ramayana. That was amazing. And lectures, classes, all the time. And I later on in my devotional practice, I noticed that most of the things that I knew about Krishna conscious philosophy was through the classes that I was listening during that time. My first spiritual master was Swami, and His class is amazing. I mean, devotees still enjoy listening to his classes. He was a very, very special devotee. His classes were very philosophical. And he wrote some philosophical books as well. He wrote books on the upper sampradayas, you know, this information that we have, it's from him. And he wrote books, one famous book is Substance and Shadow, where it's a philosophical treatise, very difficult to understand. And for me it was hard to read it, but I mean, his classes were amazing. And of course, Prabhupada's classes, all the time Prabhupada's classes, like that. So this kind of absorption is very important during our performance of different activities, because we engage our senses, but the most important sense that we have to keep engaged, that's our minds. So therefore, it's so important that we come together in the morning and in the evening. Unfortunately, that's not taken so seriously anymore, but in the beginning, the devotees, beginning days of ISKCON, they were very strict about having morning and evening program. Bhagavad Gita class is as important as Bhagavatam class. Actually, for us, it's more important, Bhagavad Gita, understanding Bhagavad Gita. Because Bhagavad Gita helps us become situated on the transcendental platform of Brahma Bhuta. And when we are established in that understanding of our spiritual nature, then our devotional service begins. Real, I mean, true devotional service begins when one is established in the platform of Brahma Bhuta. So Bhagavad Gita brings us to that realization. And then Bhagavatam takes us from there. So the absorption is through hearing. And one thing that I have been practicing at home with my wife for a long time now is coming together in the morning and in the evening and reading from Bhagavatam in the morning and evening from Bhagavad Gita and discussing. You know, Krishna Dharma Prabhu and Chintamani Dhammataji, they're very, very wonderful Grihastha couple, and they have taught us this amazing way of absorbing the mind in Krishna. And if you actually do that, you absorb your mind so deeply that during the day when you engage in different activities, of course you hear, but also it helps you meditate on Krishna in a very viable way. So my advice is, I think they're doing regular discussions with the Matajis, Chintamani Mataji. Who of you goes to these discussions, the ladies' discussions? Yes? Do you find them helpful? Yeah? Nice. And the best way is to find a partner, actually. For brahmachari, it has to be a brahmachari, obviously, but for those who live outside, grihasthas, it's very good to do that in the house, in the home. And Prabhupada actually in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 13th chapter, these famous verses from 8 to 12, in the purport he says that successful grihastha life needs to have four elements. And one is, of course, worshipping the deities, offering prasadam and, you know, honoring prasadam together, chanting the holy names together, and probably most importantly, hearing together, reading Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and discussing them. So these activities will ensure that a family is happy. It says that. That's the formula for happy married life. And it's the formula for happy life in any of the ashramas, really. If you absorb your mind in worshipping the deities, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita together, chanting the holy names in association of devotees, then the mind will be definitely absorbed in Krishna, thoughts of Krishna. And this is very purifying. This is how we purify our heart, by absorption in Krishna. And the holy name, Prabhupada says, is the, chanting the holy name is the easiest way. But to chant purely the holy name, you have to hear sufficiently to understand the proper position of Krishna, our position, and like that. So these are just some thoughts. And to wrap up, in the purport, Prabhupada actually says that the position of Vidura, who was living a life of, you could say, a life of a sannyasi, you know, he was traveling all over the different holy places and being absorbed in the pastimes of the Lord, and the position of the Yadavas and the Pandavas, particularly Maharaj Yudhishthira, was the same. They, because they were absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Vidura was absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, and even though Maharaj Yudhishthira was performing his state affairs in managing the kingdom of the world, he was also constantly absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. So their devotion was on the same level. So that's what we learned. So this is the essence of Krishna consciousness. Yena tena prakarena mana Krishna niveshayet. We want somehow or other to engage our minds in thoughts of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. If there's any maybe comment or question.